Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Options aplenty for the New Orleans Pelicans now after they consummated a trade of Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Lonzo Ball, obviously, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, three first-round draft picks, including this year's fourth overall pick. Scott Kushner, the Advocate, covering the NBA and the Pelicans, joining us now at Scott D. Kushner. Scott's kind of been a boring 72 hours for the Pelicans in the NBA, huh?
It's been a ridiculous 6 months, Christian. I'm glad that we at least have a level of resolution now to stop with all of the scenarios, and now we can actually speak in reality. So that's a nice plus.
Scott, what we love to do in any sport, whenever there's a trade, who won the trade? How did it go? You know, look, the bottom line is I think that the Pelicans got what they wanted and the Lakers got what they wanted. Everybody's happy. You agree?
Yeah, to a degree, certainly. I think, you know, the Lakers is much more straightforward. They got someone who helps them right now, and you know exactly what he does for them. And the Pelicans, we just kind of have to see how this shakes out. You know, we don't know how good these players are. We don't know how good these picks are. There's just kind of a lot to still be determined. But I think it's the logic behind it is correct, which is you play for the long term and the long game. And that's what the Pelicans have gotten themselves, a lot of options. Now, whether those options turn out right or wrong, that remains to be seen. But the Lakers side is really straightforward. The Pelicans side is still, you know, a long form TBD.
Scott, looking at what David Griffin, going back to his introductory press conference, he basically told you that small market teams like this have to draft well. So it's no surprise that, tell me if I'm off base here, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, probably all three, at least two out of the three, are not in the long-term plans for the Pelicans. That was kind of that really wasn't the crux of this deal. What attracted David Griffin more was probably the three draft picks. You agree?
Yeah, considering how the draft picks are set up in particular, with the ability to have swaps and the ability to jump into the top eight in 2021 if it gets there, you know, there's just a lot of options that they basically control if the Lakers have a good pick at any point between 2021 and 2025, which feels like a very long time away because it is. You know, if the Lakers ever have a down season in that period and get a really, you know, nice pick, the Pelicans take it. And I think that is a particularly big boon for them. Not to mention, yeah, this number four pick this year, and then what you can fetch from a trade if you potentially move on from someone like Lonzo Ball or someone like Brandon Ingram. You know, there's a lot to still be determined here. But yeah, they're going to have to draft well. There's no doubt about it. Having the number one pick this year helps immensely, though.
The fourth pick, do you think they keep that or trade that?
I think they're trying to trade it. In fact, I know they're trying to trade it. But you know, it's a matter of value of whether or not it makes more sense to go down a couple picks to go get someone you want, or if it's better off to try to go get a veteran, or if you don't get, you know, anything that you really like. You know, you talk to draft experts, of which I am not one, but you talk to draft experts, they all say it's a three-person draft. There's basically three guys that project out to be all-stars. And really everybody else is kind of a wait and see. So how much value does that fourth pick really have in the open market? I mean, I think we'll find out on draft night whether or not they keep it or they keep it, because I think they're gonna have to wait to make a deal. And it's going to come down to, you know, whether or not someone really wants to pony up for Darius Garland or someone like that in the last minute.
Scott, I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here. Say they move the fourth pick for a veteran player, established veteran. What kind of veteran can they get? And give me a name, perhaps, of who might be available.
I mean, it's hard to say who's available. The guy that they are obviously trying to get is Bradley Beal out of the Washington Wizards. I think that is the move that I feel is the real ace in the hole that can change the whole trajectory of what's coming next season, is getting someone like Bradley Beal, who's an all-star type of player and someone who can immediately help you. You know, there's other names out there, some guys from, just, you know, teams who aren't fit to contend right away and that would be more happy to have the number four pick in the draft than they would have a veteran player. And there are a bunch of those type of teams. So it just depends on what comes out of it. I really don't know what level. I mean, no one's seen this. There hasn't been a draft pick traded with the exception of this one during these last few weeks. So there's really no telling what that value is, you know, no lottery pick, I should say. So it's a complicated situation because it's all, you know, everything's all relative and it kind of depends on what they see. Or they might like someone at number four more than they expect because they haven't really had the chance to do due diligence. All they've had is the number one pick, and that was pretty obvious from, you know, the second they won the lottery who they're going to take.
What are they getting out of Josh Hart? What's realistically the expectation? A role player kind of guy?
Yeah, I think Josh Hart is – and he's actually someone who's I've heard, like, probably the most complimentary stuff about from, you know, opposing coaches and the front office, a handful of folks that I've spoken with, like – as far as attitude and, you know, effort and all the kind of stuff that you want from a guy who's happy to come off the bench and play a role and do those sorts of things. I think he is someone the Lakers really liked in that regard. And all the people, you know, kind of around them really think he's a nice fit. He's not a game-changing type player, though. He's a good piece to come off the bench and can help you out and fill a couple of roles and add some shooting and add some punch, but he's not going to be a guy who really closes out games for you, probably, if you're a contending team at least. So, you know, he's kind of in that spot.
Scott Kushner covering the Pelicans and the NBA for The Advocate. At Scott D. Kushner on Twitter did a great job laying out the trade and the nuances thereof earlier on The Advocate. And Scott, if there's something you don't like about this trade, what would it be?
I just, you know, it feels like if you're going to make this deal and you're going to keep, you know that you're building around Zion and you are wanting to keep Jrue Holiday, that you kind of want to have a piece in place that is more of a sure thing than either Ingram or Ball, who've had a ton of injury history and have really never, while they have immense talent, which got them picked, you know, in the top three or four picks in the draft, have never really shown it off in a way that promotes winning. And so I just think there's a lot of unknowns, and it's, you know, you would think that they would be able, if they had waited a little bit longer, that the leverage for AD might have been able to go up as all of these max slots were staying open. Nobody could fill them with max players. And then all of a sudden you've got a little bit more of a bidding war, but I also understand why they would want to get done and why they would do the deal, especially with all of the future draft considerations that come about. So I think what this move is kind of step one on a long path of doing a whole bunch of other moves, and it gives them an arsenal of assets to work with in order to get there, rather than giving them like the guy that they probably need to build around with Zion Williamson.
Scott, how much do you think the injuries to Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson impacted this move, if at all?
I think that plays somewhat of a role, the Kevin Durant part more than the Klay Thompson part, just because there was fewer suitors out there basically for AD because there was one less free agent that was going to make a move. The Kevin Durant injury really, I think, hurt the Knicks more than anyone because they were going to have a pretty good chance of landing him and Kyrie Irving. And then at that point, do the Knicks go all in and go try to get AD? When if it's just AD, and especially just AD for 1 year, it's really not worth doing anything like that. So, you know, it took a team or two off the table. But other than that, you know, I don't think it had – I think the Lakers were going for it regardless. They could not waste another year of LeBron in his prime by surrounding him with 21-year-olds. It was clear it wasn't going to work. It was clear those guys were ready to move on, and LeBron was ready to move on from them. So I'm not sure it affected the Lakers. I think it affected maybe the bidding war that would have happened around him, though.
Scott Kushner, The Advocate covering the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans, at Scott D. Kushner. Now you got to look forward to the draft. Who do you think? Is there a guy out there that you think it merits the Pelicans drafting at four?
The name that everybody seems to really like at four is Darius Garland, who's out of Vanderbilt. Didn't play much last year, got injured, but is, you know, a solid, strong point guard, you know, someone who can control the ball and do those sorts of things, defend the ball. But I think the Pelicans need something different than that. I really don't see them going and taking especially a smaller guard like that with Lonzo and Drew Holiday in their long-term plans. And so I would expect to see if they do draft someone like Jared Culver from Texas Tech or someone like DeAndre Hunter from Virginia, who has a little bit more size, a little bit more rangy shooting ability as far as their length, being able to get their own shot off. So it does seem like someone in that realm of, you know, a little bit longer, a little bit more of a perimeter threat. Those are the things that this team kind of lacks as far as even in the pipeline. So it's, you know, there are names out there that can help you. I just don't think any of them project out nearly to the level of Zion, and none of them project out even to the level of, you know, an RJ Barrett, who would be there at three, but is not going to be there at four.
Scott, once this happened and came down, how long did it take you to, once you got through the madness of the breaking news, to exhale and go, it's over, thankfully?
I don't know if that moment's hit yet. I mean, it's, you know, just the amount of attention. And, you know, it's good. It's good for this time of year, especially down here where, you know, we're not talking about Saints OTAs. You know, it's, you're talking about the Pelicans. And I think this is a positive, because there is a lull in the calendar right now for New Orleans. And the fact that there's the Pelicans are getting this kind of attention, I think, is a positive. And it's time. It's a good time for this franchise to capitalize on it. It's a good time for someone like me who covers them to capitalize on it. And, you know, it just gets to be to a point where, you know, this is what matters right now. And then, you know, come August, that this, they're going to have to earn it on the court, and that all of the talk and all of the hype and all that kind of stuff starts to disappear once football season runs back around. And then especially when you start actually getting on the court, if you lose games, people stop caring real fast.
Scott Cushion does a great job covering the Pelicans and the NBA for The Advocate. Scott, thanks for the time, man.
Absolutely, Christian. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, same here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.